Blog Talk Radio.
Fatherless children, high unemployment, blended families. Men and women in the African-American community are not getting along. Why doesn't she need you? The African-American man who is being blamed for being absent is also being pushed out sometimes against his will. How is this affecting African-Americans in economic, family dynamics, and its collective power? How is this, you know, we got a lot of questions we want to ask today, and I got my co-host here that we introduced last week, Christy Harvey and Derek Kidd, and they'll be joining
Hello.
The DSD team on a regular basis.
How y'all doing? Thanks for having
me. So we're going to be kicking it out today. So let me go ahead and just get this started off. Derek, you know, you wrote a blog that kind of leaned into this, talking about I don't need you, and it was about the African-American woman. Give us kick some knowledge to us about what that was all about and how that ended up becoming a part of our show.
Well, Facebook has, social media is a very powerful tool right now between Twitter, Facebook, and other outlets. Right now, there's a topic out there. There's a lady out there, last name is Berry, stumbled over some of her work. It's just catching fire as far as women feeling like there are no good men out there. So there's some people out there that truly feel that there are no good men out there, you know, for women to choose from. And I want to know who's saying this. Who is saying this? Is it the media? Is it women? Is it the outstanding number of overcrowded prisons? Are they saying this? So the topic that you have, she don't need you, in some cases, it comes down to economics, you know, which opens the door for love and a spreadsheet, you know. So our today's topic, which leads to a form of economics, the almighty dollar, which ultimately is the bottom line. What's the bottom line? How do we solve this problem? Because what I'm noticing, there is a very serious problem. We have collectively a very serious problem in a household between men and women. We're tearing each other apart. When it comes to our women, when our women turn around to each other and they look at one another or they say to themselves, I don't need you or I don't need a man, which basically spells the destruction of the black family, we have to be real careful on this topic. And I'm prepared that this is going to be a heated topic today. We all have to be made aware of, and we must be aware of our collective active role speaking, collectively speaking, of laying down the foundation before the storm by contributing to the current national mindset on this topic right here, the propaganda. We got to be careful of that, to accept such a concept, because we all know that this is not true. And I think we're generalizing. We have to know how to deal when we generalize. If it doesn't apply to you, you let it roll off the side of your cheek and you address the issue at hand, because we all know that there are some no good men out there. So we have to be very careful of the concept, because this will only lead to the extermination of our people, and starting with the black men and a division of the black family. Christy, could you speak on the young lady's Facebook page?
Yes, I will, but she's calling in 15 minutes, and I just want to say that, you know, I'm having some issues here because I want our callers to be able to call in, but yeah. I'm not able to be in the studio right now, and I'm not able to see where they're actually calling in. So I wanted to know if Elliot can kind of take a sidebar while you continue to talk to our.
Yeah, I got you here. Now, callers, if you're going to be calling in the second part of our segment, you can call in at the number 657-383-0995. Again, the number is 657-383-0995. And, you know, Derek, I want you to sit there because, you know, you brought some very important points out, you know, talking about, you know, where can somebody find your blog, too, so that they can go in there and check that out a little bit more if they wanted to read it while we were sitting there talking. Where can they find your blog?
Well, they could find my blog. They could Google it. My screen name is Harlem ATL. Harlem is spelled H as it is H A R L E M A T L. It's Harlem ATL Inner City Blues. Once again, Harlem ATL Inner City Blues. WordPress.com. Once again,
also, while we're preparing go ahead, Derek, finish that.
Harlem ATL, Inner City Blues.
And we will make sure that anybody was able to get that written down. We will place that in the after production Facebook post and Twitter post. We will do have a link there so you can go in there and read some of Derek's stuff because some of it is very insightful. But I want to get back and let's talk about, because, you know, we got a couple of minutes till we get to Ms. Barry to come on. Christy, from a woman's point of view, how do you see this problem between African-American men and African-American women that seems to be, you know, cropping up from here and there, particularly if you look at in the Twitter sphere and out there in social media? What's your take as an African-American woman?
Before I get into that, I just want to say to our callers, I just want to make sure these lines are open. So right now, looks like things are going well. So if you want to call in, I would like for our callers to think about things that are happening in their everyday lives, such as are you having problems at home that you can't discuss with anyone else that could be affecting your relationship, just everyday things. Please feel free to call in. Back to Elliot's question about how do I see this issue, I think it comes down to a matter of understanding. I think that if black women and black men would take more time, just really take more time, a day-by-day effort, to come to some sort of understanding about each other and not try to live the reality lifestyle shows that we see on TV, not try to copy other ethnicities. We've got to own our own culture. We have to own it. I believe personally that we are different from any other ethnicity. Our circumstances are different from any other ethnicity. We've got to own that. We've got to make it our own. We have to find a way to get along with our black men. We have to understand and study our black men. Because trust me, society is studying our men, but we are not. As women, brothers, please understand, you have to learn about us. You have to understand why we get mad, why we're emotional. We're not just crazy. These are things I want the callers to think about. If you're in a relationship right now, or if your relationship has just ended, you need to call in to discuss so that way we can talk about it, you know. Not only that, but think about how this affects us economically. We can't join our money together if we're constantly, you know, going after each other for child support. We can't join our money together. If we're living in households alone, if we can't put our money together as a family to start a family business. These are things that affect us economically, socially, because you have a lot of people that are depressed over the fact that they just can't simply seem to have another human being in their life. It affects us economically, socially, and politically. So please, callers, call in.
You know, Christy, you touched on something that was very beautiful. It goes both ways. It's never a one-sided type of thing. I agree with you. We as men, we need to embrace you more. We need to, and when I say you, I mean women. We need to embrace the struggles and the concerns, the fears that women have, instead of dismissing it and looking at you out the side of our, the corner of our eyes. I think it has a lot to do with relationship and a spiritual relationship. I think a lot of us, we lack the spirituality within our relationship. Could you talk about that a little bit, the spiritual relationship and the spiritual change?
I would like to say this. If you look at any economic thriving community, there is a spiritual connection. And a lot of times when we think of spirituality, we're thinking church. We're thinking, you know, mama gets you up on Sunday morning to go to church. But spirituality encompasses so much more than that. That could be simply just being able to encourage one another. You see, if your man tells you, and I've heard this from a lot of women, their man tells them they want to start a business. The woman says, but, you know, the spouse says, but he's not accountable. I don't want to support him in his business because he doesn't follow through. It takes encouragement.
Right.
Number one, we all have flaws.
Right, that's tearing down right from the beginning.
Yes, your spouse should be there to encourage you. I can speak personally for myself. For years, I've been trying to figure out what is my strength? What is something that I can do without depending on a white-collar job or a blue-collar job? It wasn't until I started dating someone that started encouraging me to go after what I'm really good at. Now, as a woman, we're sometimes caught between the kids, going to the grocery store, and all these things. And my man said to me, those are distractions. You got to focus on what you have to focus on. Now, for me, that's freeing to know that this man isn't judging me because maybe I'm not able to wash the dishes today, but he's telling me, go after what is going to make the gold. And I think we need more of that, and it doesn't have to be in that way. It could be simple, something as simple as losing weight. Your man gets up with you every morning, and he wants to go jogging with you. It could be so small. But
motivating her to want to jog. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, that's interesting too. Motivation, building opposed to tearing down. It's the same within a regular girlfriend and boyfriend relationship. It's just not designated to people who are in a marriage. What about people who are not married? The unspoken marriage. Could you speak on that as well?
Oh yeah, I'm not married. As I said, I'm dating. But to me now, you know, I'll let the audience know. Elliot and I, this gets good because we got into sort of a debate about whether the marriage changes things. And I think this is where Ms. Berry is going to come in. It's her post kind of relates to this.
Tia, talk a little about that one because we know we have a different opinion on that.
Yeah, and
well,
I think that's why
the question. She asked a very interesting question. What makes a man and what makes a woman? You know, and there were some very interesting responses of what a man is and what a woman is, and it's mind-boggling to know that people who are reading the same thing answer differently, and it shows her question shows how we're so not on the same page, and.
One second, Jerry.
I thought it was
caller.
We have a caller? All right.
Hello, caller?
Yes, this is Tierica Berry.
Hey,
Hi,
Tierica.
Hey, how you doing? How you pronounce your name again?
Tierica.
Tierica. How you doing, Tierica?
Yes, can
welcome.
You hear me okay?
You're breaking up
Tierica,
just a little
welcome
bit.
Welcome to Down South and Dirty.
Thank you for having me. I'm trying to step in an area where I can hear you guys well and you can hear me okay. Is that a little better?
Yes,
yeah. We hear
yes,
you real.
Yes.
We hear you well.
Yes. You have a
okay,
beautiful
good,
voice.
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing great. We're talking about, you know, as you've probably been hearing us, and I want to tell to everyone that I noticed Tierica's post on Facebook, and I wanted to reach out to her because I wanted to know what inspired her to write the post, as it received a lot of feedback as to what makes a man and what makes a woman, and the reason why I think this Facebook post that she wrote is crucial to our discussion is because I think that is one of the underlying problems of why our black households are not building, because maybe we have a misunderstanding of our roles, or maybe we're just not coming together in our roles. And I would like for her to expand on that.
Well, before she do that, can you do us one favor, Ms. Berry? I would like for you to give us some background on you, because I was doing a little research before you called in, and I would like folks to know your background and why you think on the level that you're thinking, because those are very interesting things I've seen that. So give us your background right quick.
All right. So as you know by now, my name is Tierica Berry. I'm a spoken word artist, a women's empowerment leader. And so I own my own company where I travel the country, I speak, I do youth presentations and entrepreneur development, author coaching, so everything expression. Like, I believe that the key to all of our problems is going to be communication and the ability to communicate and ultimately express yourself. And that's why I named my company Affirmative Expression. And even us having this conversation today is a matter of expression and what are you expressing when you say, you know, what is a man, what is a woman? How are you expressing yourself when you say that? And what is it that you're communicating to me? And do I take offense to it? Do I clam up and shy away from you? Do I tell you I don't need you? You know, and really that's what I really want to get out and raise awareness about is, learn to communicate effectively and express yourself. And that's pretty much what my company is founded on. That's a little bit about my background, but just kind of going into the post itself, the reason why I wrote the post is because it's a very interesting story, and it's very interesting, Chrissy, that you called me today in regards to that post, because last night I was really kind of going back and forth. Like, I have no problem telling people, you know, if I know something, I know it. If I don't, I'm going to tell you I'm not sure. This is what I think. This is my opinion. So my thing was, I've been struggling with this what is a woman thing, because we were having a conversation about what a man is, and then I kind of sat back and said, well, you know, I'm giving all this feedback on what a man is, but what is a woman? And so I started thinking to myself what a woman is, and I think that's going back to what the problem that you all are addressing, and I commend you all for taking that problem head on in terms of the black household and, you know, why women don't need a man. But I think getting all the way down to the root of the problem is that women don't know what a woman is and a man doesn't know what a man is. So how can we have a man and woman unit?
Tierica, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to continue. That's what I had gotten when I had read your post, and I read the many different people's response. It showed and it proved that we were not on the same page, because the truth is, what a man is, at least I can tell you, it's accepting responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's, please, simply put, that's the true definition of a man. And it hit me when I read it. It hit me to the core, because for a long time I thought I was a man, when in actuality I was not a man. I was a boy acting like a man. I didn't accept responsibility. And when I say accepting responsibility, it's not your selfish. It's not only and limited to your selfish family. It has to do with your external family as well, your community. You know, I was told that whatever you're doing in life, if it has nothing to do with the community, if it does not contribute to the community, it's not worth speaking on. What do you think about that?
Well, just going back to what you said as far as, you know, us not being on the same page, I would even challenge you to take it a step deeper than that, because what people say out of their mouths or what people post online is, it's kind of like taking a picture. If I take a picture and I don't like it, I'm not going to post it on Facebook. I'm going to put my best foot forward when I put it on Facebook. So I'm going to think of the most profound statement I could possibly think of to put on Facebook so I can get likes. But then in my actual practice, I'm not teaching my children that. You know, people say, oh, well, it's the state of mind. Being a woman is a state of mind, or being physical is being woman is not physical. It's all a state of mind. Or even I would challenge you with yours in terms of responsibility, because for a woman, I would argue that it's similar too. That's a woman's role as well, is accepting responsibility. Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't. But I know that there are listeners out there who take it personal when you generalize. Some women, some people will say, well, how can he speak on what a woman is and he's not a woman? You know what I mean? And I have to
Receiving feedback from listeners now, and they're listening in. I think some of our listeners are saying that they were booted out as they were trying to call in, so I'm not sure what's going on technically. But, you know, from my standpoint as a woman, it has been very confusing, because being a person that is focused on my goals, oftentimes when I would meet people, especially the opposite sex, you know, as in the course of dating, the first response I would get is, oh, you're one of those career-oriented women. So I don't know if men were repelled by me because they felt that if I was career-oriented or goal-oriented, that I'm not a woman to them, even within my own family.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about right there in terms of, see, this is why I wrote the post, because personally, I'm not married and I don't have any children. I'm 27 years old, but people have been, I cannot tell you how many times people have come to me, when are you going to have some kids? When are you going to have children? Oh, man, your biological clock is ticking. Now people feel rushed. Mm-hmm. You know, women feel rushed. Oh, I got to have some kids. I got to get married. Oh, well, if I have kids, shoot, I can't have kids past 30. So if I have kids at 30, then by the time they turn 18, I'll be 48. And then it's going to be kind of, you know, and we go through this whole process. This is the whole struggle that women go through. So then what happens is women rush. And they rush to have kids at the expense of their dreams, at the expense of their desires, the things that they want to do, their careers oftentimes, you know, their happiness, you know. These are things that women give up or relinquish just to fill this box of, you know, a woman is supposed to get married and have kids. You know, as a girl, you're given baby dolls. This your baby. Take care of your baby. You know, not a brief.
Let me chime in for a second, Ms. Barry. This is Scout Smith. You know, because I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm married. And I've noticed that, you know, and I've been married twice. So I've seen this once, and I'm doing it again. But one of the things I've seen is exactly what you're talking about, is that a lot of women go ahead and rush and have children, and they delay their dreams. And then, from what I'm seeing, and this is just my opinion, so if anybody wants to jump down my back, you know, it's there, and I'm willing to take it. But what I'm seeing is that then they see the path of getting married as being a method in which to get some help, because that's what I hear, so somebody can help me so I can achieve my dreams. And they get married, and they lose themselves in the marriage, and then they become bitter and mad and upset with the man because they have not achieved their dream. And God forbid the man has a dream also that God
has
put with
her. We have another caller.
Okay.
Before we take that caller, do you mind if I go ahead and chime in on what he just said?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, before we go into the caller, because I really wanted to, because you really struck me to my core with that one, because me personally, as a woman that is, I'm very emotion-driven, okay? I know that about myself. I'm very emotion-driven. And when I get into a relationship, because I understand the value of submission in a relationship, and I know a lot of women probably want to look at me crazy for that, but I believe that there is value in submission as a woman, as that role. But what I tend to do when I get into a relationship or in the past would be submit or kind of grow in the way that the man that I'm in a relationship with is growing. So what I had to do is take an opportunity to step away from the relationship and find out what I wanted to do, how, which way I wanted to grow, what things are important to me. And then once I was able to do that, then I'm able to walk in the path, in that path, and then meet people along that path that have similar interests that I do, instead of going the other way around and saying, oh, I like this guy, he's fine, let me get with him. And then he got a totally different path, and then I look up 10 years down the line, and I'm like, but what about my dream that I had to be a speaker or a poet or a published author? And now I'm 10 years in on this job, and that's what, that's where that bitterness comes from, in my, you know, in my opinion. But I had to get that off my chest. But
yeah.
You want to go ahead and take the caller now?
Sure. Call on the air.
Hello? You want to? Hello?
Hello?
Call 1-4-7-3-4-5.
Caller.
When she comes in, or that he or she comes in, until they come in, Tierica, what do you say when a man says that a career woman does not make a good wife?
I believe that a man may not be a good wife for him. And so there are different types of different relationship models that will fit different people. And so one man may want a career-oriented wife so that when he comes home, she's not just kind of sitting around, doing nothing, in his opinion, and I'm just, you know, paraphrasing, but out there getting it too. So power couple, Jay-Z and Beyonce, okay? Now somebody else may say, you know what, I don't want that. I need my wife at home. I need her to, you know, I want us to have a family. I want her to take care of the kids. I want to provide for the family. She stay home, take care of the kids, and support me. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that as long as you fit within, you fall within your relationship model. But I think a lot of people jump into a relationship without considering what the relationship model is that fits that other person or even that fits yourself. Because me personally, I'm a hustler. I go out and I get it. That's what I do. And so when it comes to my relationship model, I'm not the type to sit at home and let my husband go out and do it. That's not me. So for me to get into a relationship with a man who believes that I should be at home, we're gonna have problems. You know, where somebody else might be okay with that.
And I think that's a really good point you're making there, because, you know, and something else, just to take it a step farther, you know, people, you know, you say jump into relationships, oh, she fine, he fine, or he drives this kind of car, he making this much money, and they don't even take a snapshot of the bigger picture. Because one of the things that I know my parents taught me growing up, particularly when talking about getting into relationships, was to pay attention to a person's background and where they come from. Because you may fall in love with somebody whose background is so different than yours that there may be some conflicts just popping up from, you know, traditions and the way they were brought up and the way you were brought up, and there's no time to sit there and talk about it because nobody ever took time to even analyze that fact. So do you think that could be a possibility that we're having, being that we have some people now who are being raised in single-family homes, and you still have a significant group of people who are being still raised in two-parent homes, and yet we're meeting in the middle with a person who doesn't know what a father looks like at home and somebody that does?
Absolutely. But I don't think it is so much the background as it is what a person believes. I wouldn't look at someone's background and say, oh, you came from here? Oh, no, absolutely not. However, I would look at that background and say, well, what do you believe? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about me working, you know, such and such? How do you feel about us not having kids? How do you feel about us having kids? Why do you believe that? How do you feel about a woman? How do you feel about submission? Ask all of these questions and see where their mind is, and then from there we can either decide to come to a common ground on certain things, or we'll decide, hey, you know what, you know, I like you, you're fine and all, but our beliefs are not going to match up enough for us to make this thing work.
You know, I would like to chime in on this and say that this whole conversation has been a transformational stage in my life. Ever since I was, you know, old enough to think about dating, the rule in my household was, and I grew up in the South by my grandmother, the rule was you don't need a boyfriend. As I got older, it became you don't need a man. So even in college, I went through with the attitude of I'm here for one reason. That is to build a career. These men are just going to use you because that was what was told to me growing up. It had a profound effect on me because in the African-American community, when you go out in the real world and you leave college, a lot of our professors, female professors, told us, take advantage of the men that you have here now because when you leave Tuskegee, you're not going to find these same men out in the real world, which I found to be true. But because of what I had been told growing up, I didn't take advantage of the opportunity to meet men that were educated and men that were goal-oriented or just had character and trying to do something with their life. So I missed out probably on a lot of good possibilities because I was more focused on what I had to do. What I think about it, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be goal-oriented, but I think from a economic and social standpoint, I think that you really have to look at the power of economic collective unity. And when I look at marriage, I see marriage, you know, a lot of people may get mad with me when I say this, but it is a business. And when I say that, I believe that it's a business because it creates a better, healthy environment for a community of people.
It can create if it's done properly, but just like any business, if you don't put the business together properly or you rush into it and overlook things, then your business will crumble.
Yes, and, right. I'm speaking from a healthy. When I say this, I'm speaking more from a non-toxic standpoint, from a healthy standpoint. I think that the problem is, to me, and I'm only speaking from my own life, I went into everything looking at it from a toxic view because that's what was taught to me. I was never told about the fact that you could have a healthy relationship. It was never enforced to me things that would create a healthy relationship. So for me, I always said if I had daughters or sons, I don't want to shun them away by saying, oh, watch out for these men. They're going to use you. I want my daughter or son to be able to recognize a healthy candidate when they see one. I don't want them to always set their sights on a toxic situation. That's just my take, and that's the way I grew up. I just feel that it's something that affects us. And I would like to add one more thing, and I'll be quiet. I used to be a contract investigator for the government for about 7 to 10 years, where I did background investigations on anyone in the government that you can imagine. A lot of times I would run into very high, successful, professional women. One thing I found common amongst them all, they all sought counseling, and all for the same reason. They were depressed because they said they never imagined themselves alone. They had status, they had success, they had everything that's supposed to be a part of the American dream. We have a caller, and I don't want to keep calling, so 1 second.
That caller dropped, baby. Are we going to come back?
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you say your name and the region that you're from? Can you say your name and the region you're from?
I called last week, if you remember. I'm Christy's friend, and I called last week, and I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was calling your topic that you were talking about, or you're talking about the families, and still the same topic, sort of kind of wind up more in depth.
Yeah, because we're digging into that. Yeah.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
What was on my mind is that we have a lot.
Hello?
Home.
You're breaking
me?
Up. I can hear you now. You was breaking up before.
I think we need to get back to teaching at home. It all has to start at home within our community. Some of the solutions that we have is Black people have to start looking about getting help. A lot of young people need mental health, you know, just dealing with some of the problems that they deal with. Like in my time, I'm in my 50s. I didn't grow up with a lot of the things that they're growing up with today at young ages that they're facing. Gangs, you know, a host of things, diseases, you know, child being molested, all kinds of things that you didn't, that in my 50s, we didn't grow up with. Even in your 30s, you pretty much didn't grow up. The new generation is being exposed to stuff at a much younger age. And right. A lot of the people that are raising these children are children themselves. So I think there's a lot of stuff that we need to do, look at in our community and police ourselves and hold ourselves responsible, starting from home, starting from the grandparents who know better, starting from the parents, making sure that they're getting good parental advice and advice that's suitable to them, that's suitable to our ethnic background and who we are. So I think that's what we need to start with. And we can start with that by everybody giving a piece of themselves. And we're in a society when it's all about me, what I want and what I can get and how I can get it. And now we have to go back and we have to reach back and pull somebody up and we have to be our brother's keeper. And that's what I really just wanted to get across.
I've got a question I want to ask, particularly to the women. I got a question I would like to ask because this is something that I teach Sunday. I used to teach Sunday school, teenage boys, you know, 11th and 12th graders. And there was a question the boys asked me one day, and we had a long roundtable discussion about it, and we tried to figure it out from a biblical perspective, but it made me, and I just thought about it when she said, raising, starting them out at a young age. And it kind of goes on to the thing that Terica and both Christy were talking about. You know, women going, you go off to college, or you, some of you being raised, talking about you know, you don't need a man, this, that, and the other. And this famous term right here, independent Black woman. Independent Black woman. And when that question was posed to me, from a biblical standpoint, one of my young men brought it to me, he said, well, Mr. Smith, that's impossible. I'm like, why is it impossible? He said, because God did not mean for us to be alone, not to stand alone. And he said, when you're independent, you're standing alone. And he didn't make us to be alone. And I was thinking, when I said, that's an interesting point of view. I never thought of it that way. He said, so if you set out to be independent instead of being interdependent, he said, you'll find yourself by yourself. And I'm like, okay, so from that standpoint, do you really think, because we kind of concluded there really wasn't a such thing as an independent Black woman from a healthy standpoint. And so being that these were young men and a couple of older men sitting there thinking, what do you ladies think on that, starting off with Ms. Terica?
If women can set out to be an independent Black woman?
Well, I think it's a reality, you know, that you can really be independent, taking using those terms of that being independent means you're standing alone. You know, is that realistic from a healthy standpoint, knowing that you really need people because even, you know, you may not need a man, but you need people. And if you look at a lot of women who use that term, they really don't even make friends with other women very well.
Okay, wait, I just want to say this because I'm going to have to get back to work. Because, again, you guys are so interesting that I'm taking my little 15-minute break to get in here, and I love Christy to death. I want to say I'm a married woman. I was married before. I have two children that were from my first marriage. They were 2 and 4, and I married again. And I have, you know, I'm married now a long time, too. I never could say, I never was the one to say I can do it by myself because I can't. It takes a man to raise a man, okay? It takes a female to raise a woman. And conjunction together, two people working together, is what it's supposed to be. So I feel as a Black woman that our responsibility is to raise up our – I used to tell my daughter, I don't undermine your father. Your father, you went to your father, he said no. You don't come to me and get the answer that you want to get because we work together. He's the king, I'm the queen. That's how it rolls. and the queen's responsibility is to make sure everybody's in order, they're getting fed, they're getting all the nurturing that they need. I feel the king's role is to provide for his family, but it's also your responsibility to help him, not to tear him down. If he's down, then you step up to the plate and do what's needed for the family. So we got to first get back to that. We don't have that because, and I don't want to get deep into this, but slavery has a lot to do with that, tearing us apart, pitting us against each other. And once we get to a point where we're all able to come to a point, the solution, when I say it starts at home, it starts with grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, children, aunts, uncles. It takes everybody. It takes a village to raise a child. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I need to be independent. I don't think Christy is saying that either. I think she's saying that we need our black men to be responsible, and they're not. I have two sons, and one of them is running amok. That's why I'm on here. It's running amok. And Christy knows the situation, but what I'm just saying to you, I did all I can do, and I'm still doing it. 29 years old.
Right.
So, you know, all I'm saying to you.
I want to chime in on that. You talked about queenship and kingship. That's a mindset. Every man wants to be king. Every woman would like to be viewed as queen, but that's earned. It's not given. It comes down to your experiences, your insights, and you hit something, you struck something that did hit my core. Independence, an independent woman. I don't have a problem with an independent woman. What she's saying is that she's not relying on you to pay her bills, to do things and provide for her. I don't have a problem with that because I know no matter how independent or strong she may be, she needs love. Or
that's
she
right.
would like to have love. So I encourage her. I encourage everyone to be independent, to be strong, because that's what we need. And I think what you're talking about, you're highlighting love, the lack of love. You also spoke about children having children, especially within the broken home, how we collectively, you said you're in your 50s, in many cases, your generation and a generation just before you have failed the generation that comes behind us. We don't talk to them anymore. In many cases, we're absent. Not only is the father absent, in many cases, the mother is absent too, mentally, socially, spiritually. The love is absent. So I agree with you, and it does go back to slavery. But you keep in mind, a lot of our people want to forget slavery. They want to have a historical amnesia. They want to move forward. But in order for you to move forward,
they don't know where they came from, because if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. So you're right in saying that. It's not that they want to forget it. They never know the story. They never took the time to find the story. No one's ever taught them because, you know, the people before us, a generation, didn't want to talk about it. And now they have to talk about it. And now, because they didn't talk about it, we have generations that are suffering because no one talked about it. Like I said, the Jewish people always talk about the Holocaust. 14-year-old Jewish people, you can walk up to a Jewish child who's 14 years old and ask them about the Holocaust, and they can lay it down for you. You know why? Because grandma told them, mama told them. Don't ever forget, there was a Holocaust. We got a black Holocaust. We've been had a black Holocaust. But once we got out of slavery, well, we don't have to go back, and we have to be better, and we have to do this. And, yeah, you have to do all those things, but the one thing you have to do is never forget where you came from. That's what you have to do. And when you know where you came from, you'll know where you're going as a history of people. And we're strong people. We have so many things that we can do, but we don't talk about it. That's why we got gangs picking up our young people. See, the gangs were created not to really do crime in the beginning, way back when. Gangs were created to make a community strong. So don't come in our community. Back in New York, when you seen gangs of New York, they were committed to hold their community down. Now, the corruption came in later. The corruption came in later, but they were meant to protect the people in that community. And then they turned into corruption, you know, and that's where we are today. But I got to go, guys. I really love it. I really love it. This is great.
We love you also. Thank you.
We love you, too.
Dialogue will lead to a solution.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I want to jump in, because I get very angry. And I'm just being real, because I think we need to be real about this. I get very angry sometimes as a black person when we continuously go over the problems. We've dealt with these problems. Mm-hmm. We know what they are. What I would like for us to do is start focusing on change. One of the problems that I see is that we're not taught how to look for the correct thing. That's key. You have to know how to look for what is healthy for you in your life. You have to know how to identify it. What I find is, you know, my grandmother basically raised me, okay? She's 97. Even though she did not sort of gear me towards a relationship, she taught me how to identify people who are for me in my life. Throughout my life, I've been a loner, but I can promise you this, the friends I have, they're far and few, but they're healthy for me because I can identify those individuals. And I think it's the same way in a relationship. Instead of us just going out here rushing for someone because they have a BMW or because we like the way they walk or talk or maybe they provide something for us that we need at the time because we're vulnerable, we need to be able to identify as an African-American race what is good for us in terms of helping us withstand the long haul of life. How, you know, if this person we're going to get with, are they going to help us build something? Are they going to help us become a team unit? We need to start identifying the criteria. And it doesn't have to be the same for everyone, because I think that's another problem is that we create this stereotype and we say that's the person. I remember, and this is a personal story, I remember being engaged and my grandmother telling me if he has a house, if a man has a house, then that's a sign that he's ready to get married. That was totally a lie. What I'm learning is that it comes down to, for me, I realize that it comes down to character. Because sometimes a person isn't able to get a house right away. Maybe they're trying to build something before they go and purchase a house because maybe they don't want to be in debt with a mortgage. Maybe they want to buy a house and not even have to worry about making the payment. Maybe it's not even material. Maybe they're trying to figure out how to become a better person. And this is a process that you have to go through. And for me, because I've
Christy,
been through
I
a lot.
Want to chime in.
Sure, go ahead.
I was going to say that even I think that what you're saying is very key in terms of knowing what to look for, because we don't, in our households, we don't have those type of conversations. You know, I think about conversations that I've had with people, and, you know, people always say it goes back to the elders, but we suffer from generational curses and generations of deficient beliefs and behaviors. So if we're getting it from the elders who are in some cases broken as well, then we're just passing on those things. So I think that what it starts with, even before we look at how to identify what we need and who we need and the partnership, is identifying ourselves, fixing ourselves and fixing our own broken and deficient beliefs. And that's why, you know, that's why the whole post came about, you know, what a woman is, because if you don't know who you're supposed to be and you're broken and you go out and try to start a union with another person who's also broken, it's a recipe for disaster. And when it comes to that brokenness, what I do, what people will tend to do is say, okay, well, I'm broken. I'm broke. I don't have a job. I don't have no money. I can't take care of myself. I can't manage myself, but that's okay. It's because I'm not married. Now I got to go find this man to provide and protect me, and provide for me and protect me. So now I go and dump all of these expectations on this man to take care of my broken self. And then when he doesn't live up to the standards or meet the expectations, then I'm like, I don't need you, and then move on to the next one and jump to the next one and the next one. And then that's where we come in and say, oh, well, you know, there are no good men out there. That's not the case. That's not the case. You have to first fix yourself and find out realistically what you need. Because what I did was I was in a relationship for 3 years, and when I got out of that relationship, I realized that I had not had a period of time longer than 6 months where I had been single. And so I took that time, about a year and a half, to really just date myself, provide for myself, do all of these things for myself so that I know that when I have a man come into this equation and this relationship, or I step into a relationship with a man, I know that, okay, this is what I like, and this is the caliber that I've set for myself. This is what I'm used to receiving, so we need to be here or above in terms of, you know, providing or whatnot. But I'm not going to ask you for something ridiculous that I haven't done for myself. Does that make
beautiful.
Sense?
That's,
yeah,
no, it
one second. We have a caller that just texted, and she said that as she was listening, she heard someone say, I can do things by myself. She said that statement is a statement birthed out of hurt and disappointment from being in relationships where the men in their lives don't step up, own up, have the woman's back, even when she had his. The person who wrote this, their name is Mia Caulfield, and I would like to say that I think that's a great point, because as we've been talking about this, I noticed we've kind of focused on the women. I think in a collective effort, I do agree that you have to be independent, but I think sometimes as a race, we need to focus on interdependence.
Right.
You can't stand in this life alone. Even people who have made it had others that helped them, and they became interdependent. If you look at economically, it is interdependent that you become economically successful. So I would like to say, you know, from some of the men, if you're out there, could you call in? I would like to know, what is it that you feel that may prevent you from moving forward in a relationship, or whatever you feel that's holding you back, or even some of the guys here on the podcast, Elliot or Derek?
Well, let me go ahead and show, just in case any of the guys, hold on a second, Derek. Just in case any of the guys that may have just chimed in, or anybody that's been listening that did not hear this at the beginning of the show, if you want to call in, the number is 657-383-0995. One more time, that is 657-383-0995. Go ahead, Derek.
What women have been is selfish. When we are selfish and we are of a child, have a childlike mind mentality, we can't step up. We're too busy sucking our thumb. It's all about us.
Right.
Miss Berry talked about she couldn't remember being by herself for, you know, a long period of time. I could identify that when she said that. I haven't dated in 3 years. When my marriage failed, I had to look at myself first. It was very easy for me to point the finger at my ex-wife. And because she's not here to represent herself or defend herself, I'm not going to drag her dirty laundry out into the open. That comes with a form of wisdom. And I have to look at myself first. I have to look at what I didn't bring to the table. I have to look at my faults and where I'm at in life. And the truth is, many of us, not all of us, but many of us, we come together for the wrong reasons. You know, we come together with the thought of 50-50. You know, you ever hear somebody meet me halfway? A relationship is not about 50-50. A relationship is all 100, about 100. 100.
Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, and I'm going to let me chime in on that one, because, you know, that is a big part. People want to split responsibilities instead of fully sharing the responsibilities. You know, Derek touched that, and that hit me dead in my core, because I've heard that all my life. Well, I'm going to meet you halfway. Are we going to do this 50-50? We're going to split it. Nobody ever talks about combining and giving 100% of themselves and 100% of each other and putting it in there. Because to go back to what Christian was saying, you know, you do hear a lot of what she's saying from a woman's point of view, but I'm also starting to hear it from men's point of view, and one of the reasons I wanted to touch this topic, because a lot of men are sitting out there saying, okay, all women want to do is marry us so that we can help them find out who they are, protect them, and protection is a part of the game. it was a part of the equation of being a man and a husband inside of a family unit. But when you've never established anything of your own and you're looking for somebody else to take that full burden of that, you're asking a lot of that person, particularly when you're only ready to bring in 50-50, but you want them to give you 100% of who they are. Me and Darren was kind of talking about this before we came on the air. It was like we was talking about how, you know, guys have their man caves or their dens or whatever, and we do those things at home so that the wife can see where we are, what we're doing, and who we're doing it with, whereas you got a lot of, you know, you have your wives and your girlfriends having girls' night out, you know, and it's accepted. We okay with you going out. And it's just all these different, dualities, dualities of I can do it, but you can't do it. And I'm hearing a lot of men starting to buck. They're bucking, and they're like, listen, I love you. I'm willing to give you 100% of me, but at the same time, I need you to give me 100% of you. And women are telling us they can't. They can't. And it goes back to what you were talking about. I heard one of you ladies say earlier about a woman having hurt. She's having pain. There's things that she may have dealt with earlier in life for whatever reason, and that's why they think there's no good men. But Kristen, I think, hit it on the point when you're talking about those highly successful women who she noticed all of them had something in common, which was to go seek counseling. You know, I think a lot of black families need to go seek counseling before they start talking about calling it quits. And I'm not just talking about the man and the woman, because what sometimes people fail to realize in these male-female relationships we're having, we have children. And they deserve just as much to have a seat at the table, particularly if they're old enough to have a seat at the table and say what they have seen and what they think needs to be done. Because when we make that decision for them to destroy their family, that's kind of selfish on the part of the adults. And we really need to sit there and think about that.
I think we have a return caller. I'm not sure. Caller?
It's me, Christy. I just was able to take a break, and you guys are so interesting in what you were talking about. So I'm able to talk again.
Thanks for coming back. I want to get back, Elliot. I want to go back on the 50-50 part. I just want to finish the 50-50. When you buy into the theology of 50-50, that means that you're holding back 50.
Right.
And that is something that is destroying the relationship from the beginning. And I just wanted to add that piece as far as where are the other 50? You know, so that's why it's 100-100.
Well, that's a bad
thing.
I think our caller has limited time, so I think we need to go ahead.
I have time.
So I have a question for the caller.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So actually, it's a question for everyone, but I want to start with the caller because I'm going to have to jump off the line soon. But just, you know, because my contribution, I know this is a really big picture to fix this problem. And so my portion or my piece are the women empowerment leaders to empower the women, you know. And so I want to ask, before I jump off the line, what is your opinion, caller, of what a woman is? And then I want to know, Christy and Elliot and Derek as well, what do you think a woman is? And then I'll share what I was able to meditate and get out of it, and then I'm going to have to jump off the line. But I do want to put that out there before.
All right. Caller first.
Who's that addressed to?
Go ahead, Cole.
Who are you addressing that
to?
You, Lonnie. Who are you first?
Answer the question.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What I think a woman is, a woman, and when I think of my womanhood, and I can only speak for me as a woman, but what I feel my thing is that a woman is to bring her family together when she has a family. If you don't have a family, then it would be to uplift yourself and be in a position to have a relationship with a man. I think it takes a man and a woman to raise a family. And nowadays it's not man and woman, but it's two committed.
I'm sorry, let me pause. I'm going to pause you really quick. And I'm not talking about a relationship. I'm just talking about, period, what a woman is before anything else. Like, does it... Or are you saying that you have to be in a relationship to be a woman?
Oh, no. Okay, I misunderstood you. I believe what a woman is a person that has a respect for herself and also for other people. I believe that a woman is very strong in her commitment and what she feels is spiritually and godly right. If you don't have a godly perspective, whether it be Allah, it be God, or whoever it may be for you, Yah, or whoever it be, that you have to have a commitment to the Creator, because He created you. And I believe that you're supposed to be in a position where you'll be able to nurture at one point when the time comes, that you also nurture yourself and you nurture your community, that you give back to the community. So if you're not a mother, then you're an aunt. If you're not an aunt, you're a sister. This is what I feel a woman should do. She should nurture her family or nurture the people that are around her. That's what her job is to do. That's what God gave you to do, to be able to have children or be nurturing in a commitment, if you can't have church, in a, to your society. To give back, but also be strong in your commitment and be godly and be spiritual. Be all those things that you're supposed to be that's beautiful. I think that being a woman is a beautiful experience. I experience it. I love being who I am. And I think that, you know, I just, for me, it's always been spiritual. It's not all about just you. It's about the other people around you. You give birth to people. You give birth to children. You give birth to your society. You give birth to your community. That's what a good, to me, what a good woman is. And you may not even have that kind of, you know how people have different experiences. They have a mother. Some people grow up without a mother, and they have to struggle through that. So there's other people that can be in place as an aunt, the grandmother, even another woman. Like we're connecting here on here. Even another woman can be a role model for you. So, I mean, these women that are, the young women that are coming up today, it's all about them. Them. There's nothing. It's all them, all what they can do. It's disgraceful when you turn on TV, and even the Braxton family, and I love Toni Braxton, don't get me wrong, but to look up there and see her sisters on TV doing the things they're doing, it's just showing you a snapshot of what, that's a snapshot of where we're going. They have sisters, beautiful sisters. Look at all of them. All of them are talented, and they're beautiful sisters. They're wasting their talent to be on TV. It's not role modeling. That's not role modeling to me. I watch them, and I watch, and I say, how could you say this about your sister? That's your sister. You're doing this to each other. And these models that we have of women.
Can I chime in on that? Can I chime in on that? That's a beautiful It's a beautiful experiment that you're conducting right now, Ms. Berry. I like to say thank you for allowing us to be part of this experiment. The answer to my answer to your question is a woman to me, she is the root of man, root of my existence. Without her, there is no me. She's the most important part of the tree. She's the root. And I recognize that. And that is how I'm going to answer your question. I recognize exactly who you are. What women, when you look at women across the globe, they outnumber men. That is our Creator's way of guaranteeing life. So when I look at my belly button, I see my connection to you again. I am nothing without you. I can't do this alone. I need you like I need the air that I'm breathing. So you are the most important species on this earth to me. Without you, there is no fruit of the earth that the tree can grow. You are the hidden piece. You are the one that has been most enslaved, most master manipulated, most kept under hidden. I recognize who you are. So the answer to your question for me, what a woman is the root of me.
So the root of man is what
She's
your answer is, right?
Man. She is the root of man. She,
okay.
See, the reason why I say that, because she again, as the young lady from Jersey stated, you give birth to an entire nation, a whole group of people. You, through you, you dictate the direction that our people go. What you digest, your mind.
I'm gonna challenge you right there, because for a woman, so let's say a woman is. She's not fertile, right? She can't have children. Can you see how that woman can feel like she's not a woman because
she's placing such a heavy...
Anybody that says that's not exactly what she's saying.
Wait, Derek, I think you should let her speak. I think you should give her an opportunity.
Yeah, I want to hear her out because I think what she's touching upon, I kind of did, but I didn't because I have children. I don't know that situation. But if I didn't have children, what I could say to you is I still give birth to a nation because I am a mother. I am a woman. So I should still be able to go out in the community and be a good aunt or be a good role model for the young girls that are out there. You don't have to.
I want Tierica to be able to expound just as a mediator. I want to be able for Tierica to expound on it since she is our guest speaker. So
go ahead. I want to hear it because I know where she's going, but go ahead.
Right, and so I'm fertile, but I'm just saying for women in general, and that's why I pose this question is because, you know, women will try to find their womanhood in so many worldly things because if they don't have children or they may have children with the hope that that will make them more of a woman. But I like what you said about, you know, being a role model and an example for a community because I tell people all the time, I've never birthed a child, but I have children. You know, I pour into people on a daily, on a constant. I nurture people. I nurture children. I nurture people that are older than me, you know, I'm glad that you said that. What is your name from Jersey? What is your name?
My name is Vonnie. They call me Vonnie.
Vonnie? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. And, so I'm so glad that you said that. And then in terms of that's why I kind of wanted to challenge the point about, you know, the woman being the root of man, and then also, you know, because the woman births, you know, the nation. So I wanted to make sure that when we speak about this that we're clear, because that's why we've had these experiences that we're experiencing in terms of our women being so lost, because we'll speak in these really profound statements, but the layman woman is not really missing it. It's going over her head, and she's being fed the things that we're seeing on TV. Reality TV.
She's not being. I want to just say that she's not being fed because we're not fed who we are. So we're not being fed as women of culture, women of color. We're not being fed because one, the man is not being fed. He's not being fed. The culture itself, the society itself, does not feed into it. When you can come on TV and you can use the B word freely and the N word freely, that's right there. It's a culture. That's a cultural thing.
Ms. Bonnie, I want to kind of pause you right there and say that, you know, because just like Christy said earlier, I want us to get into a habit of speaking more about the solutions. And that's why when we have this conversation, because a lot of people are not being fed, but the people who have the food or the manna to feed, then it is upon us to discuss solutions. And I think that you have lots of solutions and a lot of wisdom just from the way that you're talking, and I want us to, you know, be more on that topic.
You know, the way to do it is to do things like this, and then also if you want to go one step further, then you start to go in your community, you create a group. Me and Christy have talked about this before. You go out in your community, you see where there needs help, and then you don't have to lead anybody to lead you to do something, because you can start a group where you can help in a teen center. For instance, I went to a teen center a long time ago in my community. I don't even actually live in that community, but my father's family is from that community. It's New Brunswick, New Jersey, and I went into a teen center, and I worked in a teen center and volunteered my time. I've seen young people that come in there between ages of 13 and 17. I snatched them up. They did a background check on me because they don't just let you just run up in there. You know, they did a background check. They know I'm legit. They know that there's nothing wrong. I don't have anything. I was able to tell them everything they needed to know. I do a background check. But I went into the community. I tried to talk to the kids. I tried to teach them how to sew, just talk about their problems at home, do college applications. There's all kinds of things you could connect. Because if you save one, you may save 10 more. That one person saved 10 more. And that 10 more will save 20 more.
I would like to make your end of the note. I know Ms. Berry has to get off the line, and I don't want to hold her time. To the question that she did address to me as to what is a woman, I believe a woman encompasses a lot of things. I think the physical part of giving birth, I think that is more of a physical aspect of your body, just like if not to be obscene, but if you were to lose a limb, I mean, there's certain things you wouldn't be able to do. From a spiritual standpoint and a mental standpoint, I think a woman is a free spirit. She can compose herself into any type of form. And women are very good at creating and changing their atmosphere and community. So I think that a woman can be anything that she wants to be in terms of spiritually and mentally. I don't think there is a certain category to say what a woman is. That's just
can
my
a woman
take
be
on
a man?
I think a woman, now when you say that, I'm assuming you mean in the terms of physical, or I don't know if you mean physical or mental or leadership.
The only reason why I'm asking is to challenge, because, again, I say, when we have this wisdom to share, we have to make sure that we say it in a way that the layman can understand. So if you come to me and I'm 16 years old, and you tell me a woman can be anything, and I, you know, I have really urges and decide that I want to, you know what, I want to be a man.
Well, I think,
you know, and
that's a good question. I think a woman. Mm-hmm. That's the question. I think a woman can hold the responsibility, some of the responsibility. Now, physically, I don't think a woman can change herself into a man overnight. No. If that's something you're going to do.
Can a woman be a man mentally? Like decide, you know, I think I'm
talking
to a man.
Oh, yeah, because you know what? A woman can be a man mentally because we've been doing that as black women. We've been being a man, and that's the problem. We can't.
We cannot. I disagree with that. I disagree with that fact, and I think that, you know, again, this is another problem that we're having. I'm glad you said that it's an issue, because we believe that, you know, we can be whatever we want to be. You know what? Today I'm gonna be a man. I'm gonna be my child's mama and daddy. No,
wait,
you're not gonna be your child's mother and daddy.
Wait, I'm kind of lost. I know you were asking me the question, and then I heard Vonnie say something, and then I heard you disagree. So I'm kind of lost as to what you were asking me.
Okay.
Can you be a man? If a woman can be anything, can a woman be a man? And then Lonnie jumped in, and she was basically, she said that because black women, some roles that black women have to play historically, that, yes, they can be, because mentally they can be. And then we have Ms. Terica here saying that she disagrees with that based on the fact that that's one of our problems, if I'm correct.
I disagree
I
with
heard
it,
that
too.
Correctly.
I can only speak from my personal experiences to answer the question, and I can't speak for everyone, but only from my personal experiences, yes, I have had to play the role of certain things that people would say that's more of me acting as a man. I have had to play that role. There were many times when I was all that I had to depend on, and I had to do things. Whether it was to move myself forward, whether it was to challenge the status quo, yes, I have had to play both positions of male and female. Now, if it was right for me to do that, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But if you ask me...
Well, that's what I was saying, that we have historically had to play the role of the man and the woman. I'm saying that's a problem, that we had to do that, that we were doing that. Because we excluded the black man. It's called undermining the black man. And that's what we do.
Okay.
And we
got
to come to the realization that we do that. We do that.
Well, let me,
we
wait, 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 wait. Let me just jump in. I just want to jump in and say I didn't do those things because I was undermining the black man.
No,
I
know why.
I did them for all. I just want to be clear on something. I think we're talking about two different things right now. If I understand the question that Terica is asking me, I think she's asking me, do I think that a woman, I don't know if she means in a relationship or out of a relationship, can be a man. But I guess you're saying just as a woman, do you think that I could be a man? I guess maybe, and maybe not physically I've been a man, but yes, I have taken on the role of a man many times in my life because I had to.
And so I think that there are certain duties I think that what you're referring to are certain duties that, you know, traditionally a man should carry. But that doesn't mean that you were behaving like a man or, you know, being a man. It just means that you had to cover certain duties. And as women, as the providers and nurturers of our families and of our community, then instinctively that's what we do. If something needs to be done, we're going to do it. But that doesn't mean that we're acting like a man, you know. But I, so that's what...
Can I chime in on that question? Yeah, let me. Well, then you're agreeing with me that we have had to act like that.
We have taken on duties of men in general, you know, in our past. Even today, it's certain duties that we may take on because that's, as women, that's what we do. We make sure that the job is done. That's what we do.
Right.
But
right.
we get in trouble where we fall short or get in trouble or cause the issue is when we say, oh, well, I had to be the man. I had to step up. No, you didn't step up to be the man. You step up and got the job done. That's what a woman does.
Right, right. That's what, yeah. Now
right.
I see
okay.
where you're coming from, and I agree.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask a question. And then I'm going to answer your question, and then I want to talk about that being a man thing, because my answer to the question kind of fits into that, what I believe a woman is. We talked, my background is politics, so I try to look at things from a governmental standpoint, and if a man is a king, and we say a man and a woman is a queen, I also want to take it a step further, because when you have a monarchy, usually there's a prime minister. Okay, there's the first minister, the person who actually governs. And if you look at, even if you take a look at Proverbs 31, the woman is the prime minister of the house. The king may be the king. He may be sovereign. He may be the leader of the armies. He may be the high protector. But when it comes down to the everyday running and seeing that things are done, just like you say, it comes down to the woman being the prime minister. She is the head of government in that household. Because even the man follows rules that she kind of sets, that he kind of accepts that she sets. A woman to me is a, and as they say, a nurturer. She gives birth to the nation, as everybody has agreed to. Women are also teachers, and you don't have to be a mother to teach. And I think that's one of the things that we've lost in our communities is that women don't always teach, and if they do, it's what they're teaching. And that's one of the solutions that I think that needs to happen is that we need to remember that all our jobs, including men, but women more so because they have a inner sense of being able to communicate better than men do. Because a woman, to me, and I've always done this at every team I've ever had, any projects I've done, I always wanted a woman around because Christy does that for this group here. In my company, Christy does that. She gives us that female point of view. She sets us straight. She teaches us lessons that sometimes we will not see as men, that we will be completely allowed to glaze over our head. Christy brings that perspective to us and say, hey, slow down, think. She holds us accountable. And it's not that men can't hold themselves accountable, but you should always have somebody from outside of your perspective to hold you accountable, and that's what women do. They look from the outside, and I understand they say, I understand you're a man, but is that a prudent action to take? I want you to sit down and think about that, my brother. And when a woman does it right, a man respects it. And he sits down
that's
to the
good,
wise men
good.
And takes counsel.
That's a good point. I think that's a very good point, Elliot. I love that. I just also want to say to Tyrikia, there's a caller that just texted, and they want to know before you go, because they understand that you have to go, they really want to hear the answer to what you have to say or answer as to your own question.
Okay, absolutely. So like I said, this was something that I was really struggling with, and you know, ironically, with me being a women's empowerment leader, of course I had to go deeper for a more clear understanding. And this call has actually been very beneficial as well in terms of shedding some light on some things that are kind of plaguing our community in terms of our gender roles. So, but what I did on my own was I took the time, I looked up the definition of a woman, I meditated on what a woman is, and Well, after I gathered information from a lot of people, what I did was I took that information, I just took the opportunity to sit down, meditate, talk to God about it, and allow him to really speak to me. And so my definition of a woman is a matured girl. And so there are natural instincts that we're given or when we're born as a female. There are natural instincts that we're given. And as we grow older, our experiences will challenge and support those different instincts that we have. So a girl is confused as she's going through these different challenges, these things that challenge her instincts. Much like the name of my book is Butterfly Tales, and I love butterflies because of the beautiful transformation that is their metamorphosis process, and how you can compare that to the metamorphosis of a girl growing into a woman. And so, much like the butterfly goes through its metamorphosis stage, the caterpillar doesn't quite know what it's destined to be or what it's going to do. It's confused, kind of fumbling around, just like the girl in life, fumbling around trying to figure out what it is. But the most important part of the metamorphosis process is that cocoon phase, where the caterpillar puts itself in a position to develop because it knows that it wants more, and the ability to it's looking for that ability to reach new heights. So it protects itself from a lot of the drama and BS and things that we're experiencing in life, society, the media, all these things. It protects itself from that before emerging as this beautiful, elegant, graceful, and matured woman or butterfly. There are
also
a lot of different types.
That's beautiful.
Also, before
that's what I'm talking about.
Also, before you leave, just based on the information that you've provided, could you provide our listeners with some solutions that you think would be healthy towards rebuilding black families, black relationships? And also, if you can give people information on where to find your book or things that you've written that may be able to help them.
Absolutely. So one of the main, you know, I've been saying this over and over and over again throughout this call is starting, instead of starting with the whole big picture, because it can be kind of hard as women and even as men to help women to figure out who you are as a woman and who you're supposed to be, because then when you a lot of the problem is women trying to figure out who they are and who they're supposed to be, which takes time and attention off of their role in nurturing and developing the community. And so if we take the time to figure out that, you know, there are a lot of different types of women. I don't have to be like Miss Bonnie. I don't have to be like Christy. I don't have to be a corporate woman. And it's okay if I am a corporate woman, you know, knowing these different things and being confident in the woman or the butterfly that you've grown to be. And then, of course, finding peace with the decisions that you've made in your life, and then being comfortable with the path or the journey that you've chosen for yourself. I think that that's what women ultimately have to, once you evolve into a woman, that's the epitome of, in my opinion, of being a woman. You know, that balance of managing one's life, being able to manage your own life in areas of money, spirituality, versatility, confidence, and just really being confident. And the most important thing is being an example for those behind us.
Thank you.
For
thank
the generation
you, thank you, thank you. That's exactly what I was saying. You birth the nation. You don't physically have to birth the community.
Absolutely.
You mentally birth them.
You mentally birth them
by being mentally mentally set in your mind that you are the birth. And now the brother who said that he would not be if it was not for a woman, he's exactly right. So then
absolutely.
It takes not just about the woman. It's not just about the woman. Right. It's about the family. It's about the young boy that comes into a home where the mother is a single parent, not by choice. And if it's not by choice, then it comes for the community to grab up a brother, to grab up an uncle, to grab up the youth center that has a brother that's stand up, that's not doing no crazy stuff, and he can work with him. Finding other people or create your own group. I have two sons. I'm lucky enough to have found a man that loved me with my sons when they were 2 and 4, and he nurtured them as if they were his own children. And I was lucky enough to have that. But you know what would have been a really good thing where I shouldn't, now my kids are grown, that I could tell my husband, just like you birthed them, that they are not your children. They did not come from your loin, but you treated them like they were your children. Well, now, we as we're getting older, when I retire, you know what my dream is to do? Is to have a beautiful retirement. And it might include going out there and being a grandmother-like to somebody who don't have, some woman that doesn't have, some young woman who doesn't have a grandmother.
Ms. Bonnie, what you're saying is so key. It's so key, and that's one of the main things that I would recommend. But instead of waiting, like a lot of people get into the habit of, oh, when I retire or when I have children or when I get off this job or when I get some money or when I do that, that doesn't have to wait. You can start everybody first to repair, work to repair the things that are broken within themselves, and then also mentor others as well. Write a book, share the wisdom, mentor. This is what I do.
And
all
I already
time.
Do that.
So,
I do that down. But right. That's, I was just saying, you know, Christy, I do that. But what I was saying,
yeah, that's what I was saying in terms of, to answer Christy's question, she asked what can we do in general in terms of helping. And when you see someone else dropping the ball, just like I said, as women, this is what we do. We make sure that things get done, get it done. It takes a community to raise a child, just like it takes a community to build a community, basically.
And one thing I'm going to say, and I just want to leave you guys with this, and this is for the men, too. We are always so busy taking care of everybody else. Guess what we don't do? We don't take care of ourselves. And I want to say this, and I'm saying that being 50 years old, I have diabetes. I've been physically fit all my life, been in the Army, whatever, but I have diabetes. I've been busy physically taking care of everybody, including my family, my friends, my community, and I have not taken care of myself. So here's a commitment that I challenge the brothers to do. Next time you think about a woman that needs something, and it doesn't have to be somebody you're in a physical relationship with. It could just be your mother. It could be your grandmother. It could be somebody you work with that you respect that's a single woman. Take the time to tell them, sister, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, because without taking care of yourself, you cannot take care of anybody else. And this
well,
is what
like
was going on.
I think that's, you know, that's a good point, and I also think that is what Ms. Berry is saying in developing yourself as a woman. You know, I think the big picture is what she's saying is you've got to develop yourself first. You've got to take care mm-hmm. of yourself first before you start focusing on taking care of everybody else. And I know she has to go, but I would like for her to leave just some information if people want to reach out to her or if they want to know more information about her book, because we do thank her for being on our show today.
Yeah, we do.
I'm
thank
very
you.
Thank
too.
You.
Yeah, I enjoy
yes,
it.
And thank
you,
you so
to come
much.
Back too. And make sure you come back too.
I will. I would love to come back. The contact information for me, my website is www.affirmative, that's affirmative, expression.com. And all of my contact information, my phone number, my email, everything can be reached there. You can also reach me on Facebook at T Erica, T I E R I C A, last name Berry, B E R R Y. You can reach me on Facebook there. And you can purchase my book at my website. You can contact me, see my travels, see what I'm doing, all through those two sources. So thank you all so much for having me on the call. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you, caller. And I hope you all have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Berry, before you hang up, I want to challenge you to your question. I want to know. I want to ask you, and it's probably for our next show. How does your question, when you take your question and you look at the rise of men trying to be women, homosexuality, the rise of women trying to be men, lesbianism, how does that role play into your question as well?
Okay, that is like a whole can of worms. I do want to address part of it, but that's a whole can of worms that maybe could be for another call. But that whole situation is why I always challenge. That's why I challenge each of your questions, because if you tell me that being a woman is something that is not specific to my physical makeup or something, my physical makeup or something that's specific to my gender, then anybody could be a woman. So someone posted on my Facebook, being a woman is not physical, it's a state of mind. Okay, so then I can change my mind tomorrow as a little boy and decide, you know what, I want to be a woman today.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful with what you're saying in terms of
We coming down
the
top.
You need clarity.
30 seconds here.
One more time.
Yeah.
We coming down
the
top.
We
got
to go to healing. Right. It's about healing now. We got to go to the healing session.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody today. I want to thank my team. I want to thank everybody who came on today. This is Down South and Betty. Hope to see y'all again next week. And everybody stay strong, stay happy, and let's take care of each other. And this is Down South and Betty. See y'all next week.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hit the end episode button.
Hi, I'm here. Hello?
All right, never mind. It's done.
Okay.
All right, just hang up.